Good morning. So over the next few weeks, our sermon series is called Learning to Pray. And this week we're looking at praising God from that Psalm 146. Now, not surprisingly, I've been looking at prayer a lot this week. And I came across some interesting prayers to God from children. One said, "Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I want someone to boss around." Another said, "Dear God, please send a new baby for mummy. The baby you sent last week cries too much." And another one, "Dear God, my turtle died. If she's there with you, she likes lettuce." And one said, "Dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any." And my last one, and possibly my favourite, is, "Dear God, are you a ninja? Is that why we can't see you?" Small children are not afraid to say what is on their mind to God or to anybody else. When I was recently on a school placement, a little child, I think it was in year one, little girl said to me, "What's that in your ear?" So I thought she was talking about my hearing aid. So I pulled out my hearing aid and said, "It's my hearing aid." She said, no, "What's that in your ear? And I realised that she was looking at the hairs in my ear. So I said, "Oh, it's hair." Of which she responded, "Ugh, gross. Hope I never get old." So small children are very uninhibited when it comes to saying what's on their mind and when it comes to praying to God. But have you noticed that just like small children, most of our prayers are asking prayers? While it's true that we are encouraged to ask God, there is more to prayer than just asking for things. The book of Psalms contains 150 prayers and songs, most attributed to King David. There are songs of praise and thanksgiving, singing from the heart to a God whose abundance and mercy have been experienced as a life-giving blessing. And there are also psalms of penitence and lament, psalms of abandonment and betrayal, and even psalms that expressed anger and righteous indignation. The range of the psalms is as wide as the range of the human emotions, which perhaps accounts for the fact that these psalms have been valued as a living prayer book for over 2,500 years. They are lively, and they are a lively expression of joy and consoling in times of despair. But the majority of these prayers and hymns are songs of praise. The first words in the last Psalm 150 is "Praise the Lord." And that is also the first word in Psalm 149, 148, 147, and our psalm today, 146, "Praise the Lord." We don't spend enough time praising God. Praising God is not like thanking God. When you thank God, it's a prayer of thanking God for something he has done for you or for me. Giving praise to God is more of an adoration of what makes God who he is. And adoration is respect, reverence, a strong admiration or devotion to, in this case, God. Thanking God can be self-centered. Thank you, God, for what you did for me. Praising God is more God-centered. Praise you, Lord, for what you are. And I think that praising God is something that many of us forget to do. And it's sad but true. People have to be reminded to show their appreciation. Most parents always say to their children, "Say thank you." But when those children, and I include us in that, become adults, most seem to forget about praising anyone. Imagine a job where your work isn't appreciated, your effort goes unnoticed, and you could be replaced in an instant. Not exactly the place you'd want to stay for very long. So why does God want to stay close to us? In short, because he loves us. When was the last time you thought about showing your appreciation to God for who he is? As I mentioned earlier, when you look at the praise psalms in the Old Testament, every one of them starts with a call to praise. We have to be reminded to show our appreciation to God. All of these psalms start with the same words, praise the Lord. In fact, they all end with the same words as well, praise the Lord. If you are looking for a praise psalm in the Bible, they're easy to find. You just look for the words, praise the Lord. And this is something we have to be reminded to do. Because for most of us, praising God does not come naturally. We've become so self-centered in our lives, even our worship. Have you noticed that worship has become self-centered instead of God-centered? Try praying, just praising to God, and I bet you'll very quickly find that you fall into thanking God for what he has done for you. Not thanking him for who he is and what he has done and what he is. We judge the quality of our worship by how it blesses us or what we get out of it or how it failed to bless us. And I've heard people say, and I've been guilty of this as well, that I got nothing out of that service today. We don't think about whether or not God was blessed by our worship. What did we give to God in that service? The best worship music, old or new, is the type that glorifies God. If we happen to like it, then that's an added bonus. Even our prayers on asking for things we need, and they become self-centered. Praising God keeps our worship and our lives focused on God rather than self-centered on ourselves. Every one of the praise psalms will include a collection of reasons as to why we should praise God. And in our reading, we read, we are given a brief and poetic set of reasons as to why we should praise God. First, we should praise him because God is someone we can trust. He will not fail us. And we read, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans will come to nothing. So do we trust God or do we trust in other things like money? But money can't save us. Just ask someone who has become unemployed, who finds their money disappearing and their savings evaporating away. Many of us like to trust technology. All the gadgets we have are very nice, but they are not dependable. Just ask someone whose computer has recently crashed. We like to trust in power and military might. But remember, throughout history, great military powers have fallen to lesser people groups. We, the British, were kicked out of America. The Americans lost in Vietnam. The Russians lost in Afghanistan. And so the story continues. What will you put your trust in? Ultimately, it's God alone we should trust. Why? Because he alone is eternal. Everything else will someday disappear. But God existed before creation, and he will always exist. If we begin to develop an attitude of praising God, then we will find that we put our trust in God, not in things that will fail us. Second, we should praise God because he gives us hope. Our reading said, blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. God has a record of coming through, of delivering. There is a reference here to Jacob, a reminder of the history of God and his people in the Old Testament. We know what God did for Jacob. And we know what God has done for his people throughout the centuries. In other words, God has a track record in which we can find hope. The psalmist talks about God creating the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you can look around at the glories of the universe. Did you know that Voyager 1 is the first spacecraft to reach interstellar space? It was launched in 1977 to explore the outer planets of our solar system. However, it has remained operational long past expectations and continues to send information back along its journey to Earth. The spacecraft officially entered interstellar space in August 2012, almost 35 years after its voyage began. And Voyager 1 was actually the second of the twin spacecraft to be launched, but it was the first to race by Jupiter and Saturn. The images it sent back have been used in school books and newspapers for generations. Also, on board was a special recording carrying voices and music from Earth out into the cosmos. Now, I don't know what we'll learn from this, and I have to admit, I don't really care. What we do learn will probably be beyond my understanding in any case. But I think it's really remarkable that in my lifetime we are sending spaceships into interstellar space, something God made that is so far away that most telescopes can't see much of anything. God has made an awesome universe. In our house, we've got a house in Spain. In our house in Spain, it's in a very low light pollution area, where in other words, it's in the middle of nowhere. And I just love on a clear night to sit out by the pool and look up at the night sky and see all the thousands of stars and just look in wonder at what God has made. I can see some of that wonderful universe. And because I know about God's track record in creating and maintaining that universe, I have hope. People put their hope in things that have no track record, or at best, a poor track record. Over the last few weeks, it's come to our news headlines that young people are putting their trust in knives, and some are putting their trust in guns as well. In fact, it's nothing new. Now I know that they are on the inside, they're just frightened. And I'm sure very few of them, if any, really want to use that weapon. But that is where their trust is. Where do you find your sense of hope and trust? If we begin to develop an attitude of praising God, then we will find that we put our hope in God, not in the things that will fail us. And we should praise him because God loves us. In our reading from the psalm, we read, God upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. How many times do we praise our favourite band or singer or our team, and they don't even know that we exist? And think again about that interstellar space. What can we learn from something like that? One thing that teaches me is that God created an enormous universe, and God made all of that, and he knows all there is to know about this huge universe. It amazes me that God, who made this universe and sustains this creation, pays attention to us at all. In the grand scheme of things, we are like a speck of dust, and yet, in the heart of our Creator, we are loved. Do we pray to our God? Do we use the prayer ministry? For many of us, the answer is no. Prayer ministry is a much underused resource in this church. But every 2 weeks, there is a team of people ready and willing to pray with anyone in confidence, and ready and willing to praise God with any who come. And also to praise God for the love that he has for us and wants to deepen that relationship with us. For that reason alone, we should have an attitude of praise for God. Our reading tells us that we should praise the Lord for the greatness of his power. He is the God of creation. He is the God that said, "Let there be," and there was. The greatness of his mercy. He is the God who looks beyond our faults and still woke us up this morning. The greatness of his love. He loves me and you in spite of ourselves. The greatness of his deliverance. And I'm sure we have all seen a film or a TV show that has someone falling into some quicksand and they try to get out. But the harder they try, the deeper they sink. We have, I'm sure, all felt the horrible feelings that that person feels in despair as they sink to the waist and they try to reach out for that tree or that root or something, but it's too far away. They try everything they know, but suddenly they're up to their chin and soon they're under the quicksand. A very horrible death. All of us who know the Lord Jesus should praise him because we have all found ourselves in the quicksand of sin. He reached down with his loving hands and saved us. He is worthy of our praise. The greatness of his sacrifice for each of us makes him worthy. Pete Gregg said, "God is God. He is holy. He is our Father who loves us." And John Dawson said, "When Christians pray, they are climbing into the lap of their Heavenly Father." We should give time to God, asking for nothing back, but telling God how much we love him. That's what we should learn from today, that he is worthy because he sent his Son to be a sacrifice for us. He is worthy. We must surely have to praise him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we praise you for your love for us. We praise you that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we know what love looks like. We praise you, Lord God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you are our solid rock, our fortress, our rescuer, our shield, our salvation strength, and our place of safety. Lord, we praise you for being the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who does not grow faint or weary. We praise you that your ways are higher than our ways, and your faults higher than our faults. We praise you because you are perfect. We praise you because you are the Lord, for you are the God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving of our sins and wickedness. Lord God, we praise you that with you nothing is impossible. Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth, your great power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you. Lord God, we praise and worship you for your love for us. Amen.